I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are so excited to welcome back to the show Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. On his Twitter, he is sporting that gold jacket, not just a CFL legend, but also one who established his own mark and left his own legacy from his time in the NFL. Warren, you've seen a lot of football. You played a lot of football. Does anything that the NFL puts on the field surprise you anymore, considering every weekend it seems like it's something crazy and new to keep us sucked in as fans?
Yeah, I think the NFL is just really charmed. They must have did something right in their past life or something, because they just continue to keep exciting us, they keep entertaining us, and they keep making thrilling a thrilling product. And you look at it compared to the other sports, I mean, there's just nothing that compares to it. One, because every game seems to be so meaningful, where you have a do or die in the playoffs. All 16 games definitely count throughout the season. So when you get to the playoffs and it's a do or die, not a best of whatever series like in baseball or basketball, these games mean more. And when they come down to the last play like that, there's nothing better in sports.
Can you remember a weekend in which we had four games all go down to the very last plays?
I don't think that's ever happened. I'm sure there's some analytics guy out there somewhere trying to trace this down, but I don't think this ever happened, anything like this. And I've been watching football for as long as I've been living, which has been a long time. We don't have to talk about how long, but I've played in a lot of games. I've played in some games that went down to the last kick as well, but not seeing four of them happen on the same weekend, unbelievable.
It really was. I can imagine the ratings. I still have to check those out, but I'm sure they're through the roof. So then, Warren, what are some of the moments, some of the maybe stretches or sequences that you watched from any of these games that will stick with you, that impressed you so much?
Well, I was at the Kansas City game last night, so I was right there for all of that, and just amazing, amazing football, amazing will, just amazing heart for these guys to just continue to keep coming back at each other, not just the quarterbacks, but everybody that played on the field, because everybody had to contribute in that for it to happen. But, you know, the quarterbacks were the trigger guys to make the ball, you know, go where it needed to go. But somebody had to catch it. Somebody had to run around. Somebody had to block. There was just so many different things that had to happen for these plays to happen like that. But, yeah, just watching that game live, and then, of course, watching all the other ones on television before I went to that game, the two previous the day before. And the quarterbacks had to be they had to be on. And there wasn't some great quarterback play by some of the games, like Jimmy Garoppolo and Aaron Rodgers, I don't think played very well at all. But special teams is what kind of won that game for San Francisco, blocking a punt and blocking a field goal. And then Joe Burrow, I mean, just a young kid in his first playoff series, the way he played in that game, you know, he just, you know, showed a maturity beyond his years. He really outplayed Ryan Tannehill, who's been to a number of playoffs in the last couple of years for the Tennessee Titans, and you would have never known this team is as young as they are, but they're young, they're very confident, and they know what they don't know, and they're just out there playing.
Hall of Famer Warren Moon is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So you were there at Arrowhead Stadium, where they have this massive crowd. I always say that it's one of the best atmospheres in football. What was it like as the momentum is shifting back and forth in those final 2 minutes? What did it sound like inside Arrowhead?
Oh, it was nuts. It was absolutely bedlam when the Chiefs went ahead, and then when Buffalo would go ahead, people were throwing stuff and they're cursing the team out, and people are walking out of the stadium. Next thing you know, they're going crazy again because Mahomes gets the ball back and takes it back down the field. I mean, the emotions were just going up and down in that place as far as the fans were concerned. They probably lost about, 10, 12,000 people walked out of there after Buffalo went ahead with 13 seconds left. And I'm sure there were a lot of people that were trying to come back when they got in their car and heard what was happening once they got the football back and started driving back down the field again. So it was an amazing atmosphere. It was a perfect night. It was a little bit cold, but not for the players. It was perfect for football. And the conditions were good enough where both teams could really play at a fast pace, and you saw a lot of fast-paced football out there.
I can't believe people left. You know, Patrick Mahomes, why would you leave that stadium? However, Warren, with 13 seconds to go, I know they had all their timeouts, but what were your thoughts about the game at that point?
Well, I don't think the Buffalo Bills defensive staff knew they had all their timeouts. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been playing defense the way they were on that series with 13 seconds left to play. They were playing to protect the sideline and leaving the middle of the field wide open as if they didn't have any timeouts left. And that's why Tyreek Hill and also Jason Kelce were able to catch two passes on that 13-second drive to get them in field goal range so quickly because Buffalo left that part of the field wide open.
You know, I don't love this debate because both teams have the same amount of time before they ever get to OT. But since you played the game, do you have any problem with the NFL's overtime system?
I really don't, you know, only because if you're good enough to be in the overtime, you should be good enough to at least make one stop on defense and at least force a field goal, if anything. Mm. If you give up a touchdown on the first drive of overtime, you deserve to lose the football game. And I think what the NFL is trying to do is not trying to make these overtimes go forever because these players have given their heart and soul. By the end of that game last night, both of those defenses were just dog tired. They couldn't even catch up with the football anymore. Now you're going to ask them to go into overtime. I think it's just not fair on these guys, and then the team that does win, they've got to go and try and play again next week. So it's just not fair. So I think that the rule they have, the way they have it right now, works. The bad thing is if you lose a toss, you got to play some defense and at least hold that team to a field goal.
So I think this is fascinating, too, when you get to the end of a game and a kicker runs out on the field and the quarterbacks, with all of their money and all of their abilities, have to stand there and watch. Warren, what is that like when a kicker is lining up for either the kind of scenario with Harrison Butker, where he has to tie it to send it into overtime, or the other three games where it's a kick to win the game? As a quarterback, to stand there and watch, what are your feelings?
You know, you're going by what you've seen in practice all week, and you just hope that he's going to do his job. And he has one job, which is to kick the ball through those uprights. And he's over there on the sideline. He gets a lot of practice doing it over there. and all you have to do is get us in a position to make his kick as easy as possible. So that's what you're trying to do as a quarterback. You're trying to get as close as you can to make his job as easy as you can. So it's not as pressurized as it ends up being. But a 49-yard field goal is not easy in those conditions, but Buckner came out there and did it. And then the young kid in Cincinnati goes out there and I think kicks a 52-yard field goal to win the football game. So both of those kickers showed ice in their veins, and they showed the reason why they're asked to do that is because they have, like I said, one job, which is to kick the ball through those uprights. Hopefully they do it at least 90% of the time.
Mm. So I heard Robbie Gould talk about the fact that he just knew that his foot was going to be black and blue after kicking in the conditions in Green Bay because it was so cold. And then Gould goes out there, obviously, and nails the game winner for the San Francisco 49ers. How did the cold affect you when you played?
You know, I'm from Southern California. I'm from Los Angeles, so I definitely had to get acclimated to it over a number of years. I went to the University of Washington for college, so I got used to playing in the rain up in the Pacific Northwest. Then I went up to even further north to Canada to play at Edmonton, Alberta, where I played in a game as cold as minus 42 Celsius. So when you get a chance to practice in it throughout the week and you make your adjustments, and a lot of it is mind over matter. A lot of it is very much psychological. That both teams have to play in it, so you just have to go out there and train your mind that I've got 3 hours and I've got to go out there and do this. And based off of the importance of the game, in 3 hours, we can either advance in the playoffs or we can win a championship, whatever it might be. You just kind of condition your mind that you're going to go through some very tough conditions for 3 hours, and if you can make it through that, you'll win the football game. So practicing it really helps because it gets you acclimated to what you need to do as far as how you need to grip the ball, all those different things, what type of jersey you need to wear to have pockets in it to keep your hands warm. Because if you can keep your hands warm, you have a pretty good shot of throwing the football pretty well.
We're so excited to have Hall of Famer Warren Moon with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. The playoffs obviously move forward into the championship round now. What is it like to be on this stage where, you know, the whole world's watching and it's win or go home?
Well, that's what you play for. I think every team plays to get into the playoffs. And then once you get in the playoffs, it's all about who gets hot and who has the right rhythm and just kind of takes that momentum and rides it through the playoffs. But I think the main goal of everybody going into training camp is either try and win your division or at least get in the playoffs, and then we'll see where we stand after that. So that's something that we all want to do, and once you get there, you know that you have to play your best game. You got to, you know, do all the right things. You got to take care of the football, not turn it over, not create momentum for the other team, especially if you're playing on the road. Otherwise, you will be going home. And there's so much buildup when you get in the playoffs because everybody thinks they have a chance to win it all. And then the next thing you know, when you lose, it's all about cleaning out your locker and saying bye to everybody. It's amazing how that happens. You just have so much optimism throughout the week, so much optimism going into the game. And then when you lose that playoff game, it's all over and you're on your way out of town. So it's really a dreadful feeling for any team that loses in the playoffs.
And it's not easy to get to this point either. I hear athletes say that all the time, right? It's so hard to win one game in the NFL, much less survive to the Final Four.
Yeah, it really is. And even though there's only 16 games in an NFL season, or 17 now, those 17 weeks are very, very tough and long because you're practicing, you know, five, 6 days throughout the week to get ready to play a game, and then you go out there and play it, and depending on, you know, injuries and different things like that, and whether you win or lose, where it places you in the standings, all that just means so much more when you only play that many games. So it's tough winning in the NFL, especially when you go on the road, and it's even tougher when you get in the playoffs to try and keep advancing.
So you're going to be doing the analysis, the color commentary for Sky TV for the Super Bowl, which is amazing. Some early thoughts about the AFC, the NFC, and, of course, one of them is a rematch, too, inside a division.
Yeah, and you've got Cincinnati playing Kansas City, who beat Kansas City about 2 or 3 weeks ago in Cincinnati. So there's a lot of confidence, I'm sure, on that Cincinnati football team that they can go into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs because they've done it already. And then in San Francisco and in L.A., San Francisco has beaten, I think, L.A. the last six times they've played them. So they've kind of have their number. So they've got to have a lot of confidence going into L.A. to play the Rams, that even though we're probably going to be the underdogs in this game, we've beaten this football team. The biggest key is how beat up are the 49ers? You know, they came out of that cold weather game in Green Bay. We'll have to see what their injury situation is like. But otherwise, I like both teams' chances in that, because the Rams are playing very well with a lot of confidence, having knocked off Tampa Bay. But the 49ers definitely have to have a lot of confidence because they know how to beat the Rams. They have the formula to beat the Rams.
Warren, I don't remember exactly how old you were when you retired, but could you imagine still playing at a high level like Tom Brady is doing at 44 years old?
No, it's been remarkable to watch what Tom has been able to do over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years of his career, especially the last two in Tampa. He's kind of revitalized himself. I mean, this year he leads the league in total passing yards and touchdowns, and I think he set a record for completion. So he's at the top of his game at 44 years old. I retired when I was 44, and Thomas said he wanted to go at least till he was 45, but we'll have to see, you know, what he decides. He said he's going to really talk to his family a lot, and they're going to have a lot to do with his decision. I did the same thing at the end of my career. I asked my family, because I was going back and forth from Kansas City to Houston, whether they minded me, you know, to continue to play, and they told me they wanted me to. And then after 2 years of being away, they finally said, "We'd love for you to." Spend a little bit more time with us. So maybe that same thing happens with Tom But Tom is so driven, and he still enjoys competing, so we'll have to wait and see if he comes back for another one. But I don't think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be the same team next year, because they're going to lose some guys with salary cap issues and also a lot of free agents that might not sign back.
You were a different type of quarterback than Tom Brady, obviously. How much did your game change, or how much did you have to change your game the older you got, when your physical body is not quite the same as a younger quarterback who, you know, can make all the throws and can take off and be explosive and everything else?
Yeah, you're definitely not as athletic as you were in your younger days, but you make up for that with anticipation and just with the knowledge that you have, that you've seen pretty much every defense that a team can throw at you. And so because you can recognize those things so much more quickly, especially maybe on a pre-snap read or whatever, you're a step ahead of what maybe a younger guy would be, because he doesn't have the same knowledge that you have. So you make up for it in those particular areas, and you just want to try and make sure you keep yourself healthy, keep your body in tune so it bounces back, because it doesn't bounce back as fast as it did when you were younger either. Those bruises take a little bit longer to heal. You know, you're a little bit stiffer, a little bit longer into the week, all those different things. So maintaining your body is something that you have to really have a strategy for, have a program for. And I had all of that, and I think that's one of the reasons why I played as long as I did.
Gosh, Tom Brady makes it look so easy. I know it's not easy, but he makes it look like it's no big thing to be playing into your mid-40s.
Yeah, like I said, having the knowledge of what to do before the actual snap of the football, because you have a knowledge of what the defense is already doing, that makes the game a lot easier for you, and it slows the whole game down, where the guys don't seem like they're moving as fast, because you're so much further ahead of them before the snap of the football. So I think that's part of the reason. And then they protect the quarterback so much better today than they did when we were playing. You're not allowed to breathe on those guys very much anymore, or you're going to get a penalty flag. So I think that helps the overall game as well for the quarterback.
I know the last time I spoke with you, we talked about Russell Wilson. I don't remember what the situation was then. I know that you have a personal relationship with him from your time in Seattle. What's your read on the situation with the Seahawks, Warren?
I know they had the meeting with Rajon Snyder, their general manager, and Pete Carroll with the owner, Jody Allen, and I think they've come back with the conclusion that everything is going to go, you know, the same that way as far as the leadership is concerned. And I think Russell wants to come back. I just think there's some things that he probably wants to be improved, and I'm sure the football team feels like they need to improve some things too, because when you only win 6 games
right.
in a season, you know you've got some work to do. You've got to improve your personnel, and you've got to improve some of the things maybe you're doing on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. I know they fired their defensive coordinator, Ken Norton Jr., so there'll be a new defensive coordinator in there. They're on the lookout for one of those right now through the interview process. And I think their offense started to really take shape towards the end of the season. So there's definitely some work that has to be done there, but I think Russell Wilson is going to be here. He still has 2 years left on his contract. He has a no-trade clause in his contract, so there's only so many places the Seahawks can send him. So I think it's going to be status quo around here with Russell.
Do you think they can turn it around in Seattle and get back on track, knowing the brain trust that's leading them?
I think they can. You know, this was a team that won 12 games last year and won the division.
Right.
And this is their first losing season since Pete Carroll has been here. So I think he's allowed to have a down year, but they're not used to losing around here. So I think they're going to get things turned around in the right track. And you got to remember, I think about 5 or 6 of their games this year, they lost by less than 3 points. So they had a lot of close games that maybe in other years they would have pulled those games out and won. This year they lost those games. So they're not that far away.
One more thing before I let you go, Warren. You've been so kind with your time. I was looking at your Twitter and I saw that you retweeted this big post that Fox Sports put out there. Retweet if football is the greatest sport in the world. You were embedded in it. You still talk about it all the time. Why is football the greatest sport in the world?
Well, a little bit of what I talked about earlier in the interview, there's only 17 games, where in basketball there's 82 games, in baseball there's 162 games, in hockey there's, I think, 80-some games. So the games don't mean as much when you lose. In football, every game is so important, because you can't afford to have a three-game losing streak in football. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself at the bottom of your division. So I think because the games mean so much, I think because of the way the league has changed the game as far as the rules are concerned, that scoring has a lot more to do with it, I think it just makes the game an overall better game to watch because of how compelling it is and how much more meaningful it is that every game has to it. So the fans really get into it, and you can tell by when you go to these stadiums when there's 80,000 people at a football game and they're all going nuts, and it could be, you know, the middle of October where there's still maybe 8, 9, 10 games left to play in the season, but you would think it was like a playoff game atmosphere, especially if it was two teams in the same division.
Well, I will say I'm jealous that you got to be in the playoff atmosphere there at Arrowhead between Buffalo and Kansas City. What a scene to be able to witness in person. So you can find Warren on Twitter at WMoon1, Hall of Fame quarterback, 9-time Pro Bowler, led the NFL in passing yards a couple of times, and he was the Tom Brady of his day when he was in the NFL. Warren, it's always an honor to catch up with you. It's so good to be able to pick your brain. Thank you so much for a few minutes.
Amy, great talking to you as always, and look forward to talking to you down the road.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.